Talking today with Oklahoma 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas, of course, also serving as ranking minority member of the House Agriculture Committee. Congressman, a lot of things going on right now, and I thought it was very interesting that House leadership on the other side of the aisle has apparently decided in some form or fashion not to go forward with the budget for fiscal year 2011. What's with that?
I think, Ron, it's a combination of a couple things. Many would say up here that Speaker Pelosi simply doesn't want her membership to have to vote for a budget resolution that would increase the national debt by $1.3 trillion next year. I would tell you it goes farther than that. If we were to have, using the regular process that we've used since 1974, and we've had a budget every year since 1974 in the House, if we come to the both committee and on the floor where there can be amendments, where there can be debates, discussions, we will potentially, I think, the membership of the whole House, we would turn down some spending levels. We would reprioritize some spending levels. We would try to reduce what would be a deficit number for next year. And the Speaker simply doesn't want to risk having her priorities and the President's priorities rearranged by the membership. I think that's what's really going on. And that's kind of sad when the elected representatives of the people can't be allowed to try and do something about the budget problems we have.
Okay, let's maybe move on to some of our ag issues right now. But we obviously have had you've had some hearings. You've got, I think, at least one more hearing on Farm Bill Safety Net yet this week. One of the subcommittees are having that hearing. At this point, I know that there was a lot of discussion this last week about crop insurance and this this reinsurance agreement that USDA is trying to force upon the crop insurance industry. What are you hearing from your constituents? What do you think about this particular deal USDA wants to cut?
Well, there's a lot of frustration out there, and the producers who are aware of the administration's efforts to dramatically reduce the amount of money going into the crop insurance program by the tune of billions and billions of dollars are very concerned. They know that you've got to have the money there to administer the program, to deliver the program, to make it work. Their concern is that the administration, this is what they're telling me back home, the administration picked out a number that they want to reduce spending by to spend the money somewhere else. They didn't pick out changes in the program that would save money. They picked out a number, and now through the SRA, they're trying to force changes that save that money. They've got the cart before the horse. And we'll see how this evolves through the fall process, but I would tell you it's a legitimate concern. You can't let the program lose by prime, cause the pump to lose prime by reducing the money to the point where it just won't cash flow anymore.
Now, USDA's called this a final deal, final offer. Can they force that at this point?
Well, that's the thing that we're going to figure out over the coming days and weeks, and a lot of this is affected by how the crop insurance providers react. If they say it's impossible to make it work, then I have a hard time believing the administration can make it stick. If they can pressure enough crop insurance providers into accepting their numbers, then it'll be difficult to do anything about.
You know, if we're not going to have a budget, I would assume that means that we end up operating off of the previous year's budget in the new fiscal year. Why should the providers stand for accepting this cut then?
I wholeheartedly agree, and literally the budget process is worse than that. At some point in the coming weeks, the Speaker will deem how much money the House has to spend. She will deem then what each of the 12 subcommittees have to spend. I don't personally see anywhere in the Constitution that the Speaker's given that kind of power, but it sets the tone of the spending priorities for the rest of the year, not just on ag, but across the spectrum.
I know that, you know, they talked about a lot of these monies, or at least a little bit of this money, would be saved back to conservation and some other programs. And that comes back to this whole issue of what the budget baseline is going to be for a potential farm bill next year or the year after, right?
And that is part of the alarming process on crop insurance. The way they're proposing the money be addressed, we lose that budget baseline. And for our listeners' benefits, in the way the federal budget works, you start off a new year with the money that you spent in the previous year, the baseline. If you give up spending, or if spending is taken away, then the budget baseline is reduced. It is dramatically harder, especially in economic times like this. Even for the most important programs that may need new resources, if your budget line's reduced, getting it increased is extremely difficult, if not impossible. So by giving up budget baseline for crop insurance instead of reallocating it, they've dealt us a double blow.
At this point, I know that you and a couple of your colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle were calling on your committee chairman to look hard at this proposal to change the Clean Air Act regarding the word navigable. How concerned are you about this?
Well, I think this is another major threat to all of us in rural America, all of us in production agriculture, and we're still leaning hard into Chairman Peterson to address the Clean Water Act. Under present federal law, basically the federal government has control over waters that can be navigated by steamboat, using some definition from eons ago. What would like to be done by the administration is basically say the federal government should have jurisdiction all the way to the very first drop at the very first point of origin. That puts them in your barnyard, that puts them in your backyard, that puts them in your front yard. We don't need that. We need to continue the combination of state and federal regulation the way it is now. It's worked very successfully.
Along those lines, EPA, of course, continued to delay on deciding about E15. I know that doesn't affect your district a great deal, but it seems like there's a lot of folks in the Corn Belt that are very, very concerned about the dragging of the feet here.
I think it's just an indication that they can't make up their mind, or they're having a difficult time trying to rationalize what the effect would be, because a dramatic increase in the ethanol requirement will affect the supply of grain for both feed consumption. It will have an effect on grain producers' prices. We're all very sensitive about trying to maintain that appropriate balance, and I think they finally come to realize perhaps that this is a bit more complicated than they thought it would be, and that's why you see the stalling tactics.
Regarding cap and trade, we've got the problems down in the Gulf of Mexico, tragedy there, of course, with this oil spill. But there's a lot of talk about the president and the Democratic leadership trying to capitalize on this and force cap and trade. You think it's going to happen?
Well, that's the indication that the president gave in his very first national address, literally weeks and weeks and weeks after the tragedy in the Gulf. It was to focus on his version of an energy bill, which in fact means some version of cap and trade. Cap and tax is the more appropriate way to describe it. I would hope that we'll be able to continue to fight this off through the fall, because there are very few things out there that will be as totally devastating to production agriculture and rural America as would be any version of cap and tax that's remotely similar to the bill that Speaker managed to shove through Congress last summer. We just cannot survive that. And I would also say I'm still a bit disappointed. The president, I think, as chief executive officer of the country, should have picked up the phone within days of that tragedy, should have called the chairman of the board at BP, should have determined the magnitude of the problem, determined what BP was trying to do, offered to help in any way he could, then addressed the mayors and the governors in the affected area so that they'd be able to respond. Instead, the president waited, 50-plus days before he had a conversation with the BP? That's just amazing.
I think folks have used other words than amazing on that. But anyway, Congressman, one other area, and that has to do with this whole situation that seems to be developing right now, all the things that are continue to be thrown at us. You've expressed concern about a potential landslide of things trying to get done in the lame duck session. You think that could still happen, you know, given the fact that it looks like it could be a tough November for the Democrats?
Oh, yes, Ron. The polling numbers have turned against the president and Speaker Pelosi's majority in such a way across the country that there's going to be a dramatic change in November. But we need to remember, November elections don't actually take effect. The new Congress is not seated until the first week in January. I would predict for you, as I've said now for some weeks, that we'll go home at the end of July. We'll have our customary work period in the month of August. We'll come back. My colleagues in the majority will be too panicked to be able to finish the appropriations process. So literally 10 of the 12 appropriation bills will not be passed by Election Day. We'll go home. We'll come back 10 days after Election Day in November. We'll do the 10 remaining appropriation bills as a single giant appropriation bill. Don't be surprised at that point. With the changes that are coming, you will either have a different majority, or you'll have a situation where the pendulum has swung so close to the middle that many of the things the president and the speaker are enamored with are impossible to do. Don't be surprised in November, December, perhaps even right up till the new Congress coming in, an effort at cap and tax, an effort at their version of immigration, an effort at their version of reinstalling the death tax. I mean, there's just the clean water issues. There are just a variety of things out there that could be tied up into one giant vote, especially if there are 100 House members who are lame ducks who will never be back in the body again, maybe 10 or 12 senators. That's a dramatic set of circumstances, and we all have to be on guard in November and December and January to prevent the damage that could never be fixed potentially from occurring in lame duck.
Top Republican of the House Agriculture Committee, Congressman Frank Lucas. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.